if you challenge without sincerity, you're just philandering. And I think that maybe is the difference between what we call a pioneer versus someone who just is contrary. But I do think that wherever it comes from, conventional wisdom should always be questioned.
A big welcome to all our guests and listeners. I'm your host, Abhay Wadhwa. You're listening to the AWA Agora podcast, a podcast dedicated to facilitating thought leadership and innovation in the design and research world. In our efforts to facilitate thought leadership through AWA Agora and the AWA Agora podcast, we have on our show today a preeminent vision scientist, educator, inventor, and a wonderful human being, Dr. Mark Ray, who I've had the good fortune to know for almost 30 years. We are really thrilled to have him on our show today. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Mark Ray.
And the first question, polled from many audience members as well, previous to the show, what do you think is the role of iconoclasts in general, and specifically in the design industry, lighting design industry and other design industries? So over to you, Mark.
Ale, thank you. I'm extremely flattered. As I recall, I think I gave you a B in my class, so you're still talking to me. I appreciate that. I think that you and I, as you mentioned, meet annually to have a lunch, and we've talked about iconoclasm. And I think that from one perspective, first of all, we should define iconoclasm, which means that you attack the sacred icons, whatever that may be. I think you and I share the view that we question perhaps conventional wisdom, but I wouldn't call myself an iconoclast per se. And what's interesting is that someone who might call you or me an iconoclast, maybe the next generation will call you an icon itself, Abe, after you've made a change in the lighting design profession. So I think it's a temporary title, assigned from one group to another, but I think you and I absolutely share the thrill and the enjoyment of just asking the basic questions. Why are we doing it this way? So I think that's something we share together, and that's been a point of conversation for us for many years.
But do you feel that an iconoclast is a crazy maverick, or do you think they have a positive role to play in our zeitgeist? You know, I mean, do we just discard them as people who are looking for attention because they just want to be contrarians for the sake of being a contrarian? Or do you think there's a place for them in the world that we live in?
Well, I think if you challenge without sincerity, you're just philandering. And I think that maybe is the difference between what we call a pioneer versus someone who just is contrary. But I do think that wherever it comes from, conventional wisdom should always be questioned. So again, iconoclast is kind of a pejorative term. But again, I don't think that's the essence of what you and I are talking about. Mm-hmm. It's really bringing to consciousness, why are we setting 300 lux on a horizontal surface, and why does everybody do that? Those are the questions that, you know, I think interest you and me, and I think anybody should be able to have that. What is remarkable, and I think the reason why you wanted to have this as a kickoff, is doesn't seem like anybody does ask that question. They tend to defer to tradition or what they consider to be a higher authority, and I don't think that's ever stood in our way, has it, Abhi?
I totally agree with you. I think one of the failures within the evolving milieu of lighting design is that we become subservient to codes and standards, thereby abandoning independent thinking and analysis. you know, then it becomes kind of the cushion that you always lean on, not necessarily for the betterment of the project, because you are now in a dogma that you don't question. So I feel that the systems and the standards have a definite place in bettering society, but within, like everything in life, it has to be within a certain amplitude. You know, if it goes too much, then I call it dogmatic lighting approach, you know. And what I also find very interesting, and that's why I wanted to have this discussion with you, is that the dialogue that we would like to have about questioning the basic tenets of what's been handed down to us, you know, is vastly missing. We are abandoning all of that towards how small can we make an LED, how energy efficient can we make the driver, compatibility, circadian rhythms, etc. But the big question of the why and where we're going often is not even, you know, doesn't even come to the table. And in that, the question that is related to it is that what are the variables you think, I mean, and you're a vision scientist. I mean, I get that you are not a designer, but you're a person who has worked with many designers. You've had people who worked for you who were designers, and you had to interact with many of them. What would you feel few things that they could look at, or what they're lacking, you know, to make our industry forward-thinking, you know, questioning a zeitgeist and exploring new paradigms?
Well, you said something. I want to go back before I answer that question. And time is money, particularly for a professional in the lighting design community. And it's often easier, rather than to tilt at windmills or whatever the right metaphor is, to just do that and then, within the constraints that you have, be able to exercise your creative view. What I think is so important, Abe, is creating a forum like this where people are having a good time and they're interested. It doesn't happen on its own. It takes somebody that's going to lead to provide a platform for the discussion, because it doesn't spring whole from every conversation, every job you're doing. So I think what you're doing is terrific. You're raising the question. And there are many questions that we should be asking. But to answer your question, where do I... This is a personal view, and I don't mean to make this anything other than my own view, is I think that in lighting design, we have to now begin to think about time as a dimension. We tend to all be visual people. And Justin and you and I had a conversation yesterday. He had a really important insight. He said in the theater lighting, a person is in a fixed spot and the lighting has to change with each scene. But we often in architectural lighting rely on a photograph in a magazine to win an award, but we don't think about the dynamic aspects of what goes on in that space or how lighting should change over the course of the day. So again, that's a small in your larger vision of how we should have a discussion. That's a small point, but it's one that interests me in particular.
The temporal dynamism of looking at light, the movement of light through the course of the day, and how do you actually assimilate that in your lighting designs within architecture? That's really what you're saying, right?
Yeah. And I don't think we talk about it. What's the person experiencing across the day that they're there? Or even when you think about it, as they move from building to building, they are also going through a dynamic change. So maybe as professionals, we shouldn't just talk about, you know, the workplace, but maybe we should be thinking about the home environment too as a sort of handoff, right? Okay. So something that makes sense in that work. I don't have an answer for that. I'm just saying, I think that raising the question, I think that's the purpose of why we're meeting today is to begin a discussion of something like that. And again, I don't want to imply that this is the only thing. It's just one of the things that I'm interested in.
Right. And I think one of the other aspects that we've been discussing over the years is this whole paradigm of, you know, you need more light at night and less light during the day. Of course, you turn it on its head and, you know, you've been quoted and cited as saying that, listen, more light in the morning and less light at night is actually better for your body. And I would love for you to share a little bit about that with, because that for me is a very interesting paradigm. Is what you're saying is that as lighting designers, you know, your credibility or your credentials are not weighed in terms of how much light and how many light fixtures you provide to a project. You know, it's not like a weighing scale saying that, okay, how good of a lighting designer are you because you put so many light fixtures in a space, therefore you're a better lighting designer. No, what you're saying is that maybe we should turn this on its head and say you don't need as much light at night, you know, because it's better for the body. And I would love for you to, you know, spend a few minutes talking about that, because I'm sure the audience is super interested in the parameters that go into this.
Well, I'll keep my remarks short because I know we're short on time. It is when we started in this whole area of circadian rhythms back in the late 1990s, it was kind of a cute area and it was new and we didn't really know. And I think even 20 years before that, people thought, well, humans have evolved to the point where circadian rhythms aren't that important. That's obviously all changed. But the simple thing is that we are a species designed to have bright days and dark nights. And until electric lighting, that's what we, for millennia, that's what we were exposed to. But electric lighting has flattened that difference. So what we see, we spend 95% of our time indoors, and the lighting we get often in offices is not much different than what we get at home. So the system needs that contrast between dark and bright on a regular 24-hour period. And I think that daylight's a good thing, but you get in 2 meters from the window, you're not getting a lot of daylight anymore. And I think electric lighting needs to take that, professionals in particular, take that as an opportunity to deliver healthy occupants. We work with General Services Administration, and Mariana Figueroa and I have been working with them for several years. And Kevin Kampscher, who's the lead on the sustainability, changed the vocabulary from healthy buildings to healthy occupants. And I think that mindset is really important to begin to consider as a lighting designer. Now, this can get pretty complicated, or it can be very simple. High light levels during the day, however you want to deliver them, and low light levels at night, like put down your iPads. People sleep better. We've shown this with the military. We've shown this with the State Department time and time again. Sleep better, lower depression, less sleepiness during the day. And personally, I drink less coffee now because I follow that same recipe. So I do. I actually crave coffee less now than I used to before I really sort of listened to my own words.
Well, that's fantastic. Yeah. And we got probably two more minutes. And I would like to ask an important question that there are many people from around the world that are going to be seeing this. You, of course, are a well-known authority and personality in the lighting field. For the younger generation, the generation that came in after me, right? Basically, that's been a professional, becoming professionals in the last 10 years. What is that one thing that you would tell them? That, listen, if you want to make a difference or if you want to do something useful, do this. What would that be, Mark?
Continuous reading. we tend to, I mean, we are a social species, and a lot of times the information we get is by conversation. We go to talks and we sit in and we get our credits and so on. But reading, you can pick it up, then the next day you can pick it up, and there's a continuity to that. And if you want to be an expert in something, whatever that is, LED drivers or circadian rhythms, you cannot get that information by listening to experts only. You have to dig into it. And I think we don't cherish enough reading in our community. And I think we're a visual community too, right? As I mentioned before, but I think reading is so important because it gives you a chance to digest and then you can have a more meaningful conversation. But I find, I mean, even among the experts, they're clearly not reading. It's remarkable to me. So reading is what I advise.
Fantastic. Thank you,
Mark. Thank you. What a delight. Thank you.
All right, folks. That is it for our show today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to our community and our subscribers. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. A special thanks to our guest today, Dr. Mark Ray, and thank you to everyone behind the AWA Agora podcast. Further information on this podcast and this episode will be linked on the show notes. There you will also see the link to our YouTube channel for AWA Agora, where you can discover more about our other guests who are helping us and facilitating thought leadership in the fields of art, design, research, and technology. You can also find us on all your favorite social media channels. We would love for all of you to be a part of our community, and we hope that you would join us, giving us your feedback and your love. In love and light, this is your host, Abhay Wadhwa, and till the next week, when we have our next episode, stay tuned. Thank you for listening.